This morning's reading starts out with this confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes over defilement and ritual cleanliness, and it ends with Jesus teaching what defilement really means. What does it really mean? Now, hearing this, we might jump to the conclusion that this text is about defilement and ritual cleanliness, and since these are not terms or practices or customs that are part of our lived experience, you might think this text doesn't apply to us in our modern context. Maybe we think the point of this text is to call out the Pharisees and the scribes for being hypocrites because they put their human traditions over the commandment of God. I mean, Jesus quotes Isaiah, and it says right in there, you're putting human teachings over God's doctrines. And we may ask ourselves, is this text about the Pharisees and scribes or about their distortion of their religious traditions? So in relationship to the Pharisees and the scribes, we have been taught over the years to understand Pharisees as nothing more than self-righteous hypocrites who are constantly in opposition to Jesus, and they get cast as sort of the evildoers. But this is an oversimplification of who they were and what they believed. We need to remember that they understood God's calling of the nation of Israel as a gift. The Pharisees took God's calling to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation very seriously. They believed that the law was a gift as well, so that they could order their lives as God's people. And their observance of the law, as we heard in Deuteronomy, was meant to be a witness to the nations around them, to give glory to God. They were doing what they thought was right in the eyes of God. According to Jesus, the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes was that they had become so focused on these external signs of faithfulness that they neglected to examine their own hearts. Their efforts to live faithfully put up walls of alienation, and instead of drawing them closer to God and their neighbors, they created this spiritual hierarchy between those who were clean and unclean, the insiders and the outsiders. Instead of expressing the holiness of God, ritual purity became a means of excluding people, those who were considered dirty or contaminated. Jesus is not rejecting the law. He's criticizing them for their failure to uphold it. And while it's true that Jesus calls the religious leaders to task for their distortion of God's law, this passage is not about the Pharisees or the scribes or the law or traditions or improper hand washing or improper eating rituals. This text is about the source of evil. Jesus says it's from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Now, Jesus' audience includes, yes, the scribes and the Pharisees, but also all those who had gathered around them. Some of them would have been people that he had healed immediately before this scene in the marketplace. They are all there, and his disciples are there. And so he's speaking to these three different audience of people. But he's also speaking to us, to you and to me, when he teaches that nothing from the outside of us can make us unholy. Now, I think this is a really shocking revelation, and I find it a little bit disturbing. I feel convicted about it. Before we start digging into this a bit more, we need to know that in ancient times, the heart was understood as the center of human will and rationality and desire. So this whole romantic notion of our hearts fleeting out, romantic love, all of that, that is not what the heart was thought of in the ancient world. It was the center of our will, rationality, and desire. and it is the place from which all our intentions arise. In other words, we think an evil intention before we commit an evil intention. Jesus offers us a list of these evil intentions that reveal the depth of corruption of the heart. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. This list of sins provides nothing that's unexpected. Some of them would be deeds. Others are character traits and attitudes. But pondering this more deeply, we find there is just another layer of meaning to Jesus' message. Each of these vices is, in some way, a sin of consumption. Adultery, theft, avarice, envy, pride, each of these springs from a desire to take, to grasp, to own, to devour. The corruption of the human heart is rooted in desire, and desire baring its teeth and having its way with us. And if our desire for self-satisfaction is allowed to run rampant, we become insatiable consumers. Consumers of, yes, things, but also of people, of pleasure, even of our own energy. Jesus warns that what comes out of our heart can corrupt our lives and do great harm to others. Jesus is saying, whatever your practice, whichever traditions you do or don't uphold, these are not the things we need to be concerned about. Impurity is a matter of the heart. We understand, like the Pharisees, I know we don't usually think of ourselves being like the Pharisees, but we understand that being called by God is a gift. And in response to God's grace, we want to live in the ways God would want us to live. And we try to discern what that means in our daily lives, in concrete circumstances. The problem is that when we are attempting to live faithfully, there's always the temptation to judge those who do not live in the same way, to set ourselves not just apart, but above others. Maybe we even become tempted to believe that somehow we are more deserving of God's love and grace than others. Someone else is sinning worse than we are. And to further complicate matters, we are quite adept at pointing out others' wrongdoing and their hypocrisy, but we aren't so good at recognizing our own. In the reading from James, he talks about people looking in the mirror and seeing themselves in light, the Father of light. So they see themselves, but then when they turn away, they no longer see those things that actually are pulling them away from God. Now, I was really struggling. I'm thinking, okay, where is the good news in this text? But I just want to begin by saying that Jesus does not say that our hearts are utterly corrupt. Good intentions also come from the heart. Again, the center of our will, right? So good intentions also come from the heart. Jesus sees the ugliness that we hide from the world and that we often hide from ourselves, but he does not turn away. He embraces. He sees what lurks in our hearts, but he still loves us. And if you have any question about this, just look at how Jesus shows us what true faithfulness is. He dares to touch those who are considered unclean. He dares to love those who are social outcasts. He loves and serves and gives his life for all people. Tax collectors and sinners, lepers and demon-possessed people, scribes, Pharisees, to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and yes, even to you and me. By the mercy and grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's this light of truth that we need to look into so that we are able to see ourselves honestly and recognize when our heart's desire is focused on self-satisfaction rather than God's will. We can see our own wrongdoing and we can root out our own hypocrisy. In the light of truth, we can look upon Christ's sacrifice on the cross and we can know without a doubt that we are God's beloved children and we are free. We are freed from the corruption. Thanks be to God.